I could have the Terry and anyone else that's going to be coming forward from the Craft Brew Alliance, please come forward and take a seat here. I'm very pleased today to make note of one of our most creative industries in Portland, the Portland area, and in Oregon, and one that continues to innovate and raise the bar beyond any other geographic grouping of breweries in the world. And there's no wonder that I think a major news source recently named Beervana, which is Portland, for those of you that don't know, that named Portland the beer capital of the world, and for good reason. So today we are celebrating a couple of different things. One, we're celebrating an awareness month, and we're also celebrating a great industry, our brewing industry. So I'm very pleased to read the following proclamation. Whereas May marks the annual, and how do you say it correctly?
Celiac.
I'll start over again. Whereas May marks the annual Celiac Awareness Month, recognized by most celiac organizations and research centers across the country and throughout the world, and whereas celiac disease is one of the most common chronic diseases in Western countries, and whereas according to the National Foundation of Celiac Awareness, more than 3 million Americans have celiac disease and must monitor gluten intake, equating to 1 in 133 Americans, and whereas more than 95% of those suffering celiac disease are undiagnosed or misdiagnosed with other conditions, and whereas 100% gluten-free diet is the only existing treatment for celiac disease today, as there is no pharmaceutical cures, and whereas Portland is home to nearly 50 craft breweries and is leading the effort to create a gluten-free beer for those affected with gluten sensitivities, and whereas the City of Portland acknowledges and applauds the efforts to declare this day in celebration of local breweries that are doing their part to bring awareness to the disease that affects many and providing beer products specially crafted to be gluten-free for all to enjoy. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, does hereby proclaim May 16th, 2012, to be Gluten-Free Beer Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. Would you like to say something?
Yes, I'd like to just say that I'm pleased to be here with some of our fellow craft brewers from Harvester and Deschutes. I'm Terry Michelson from Craft Brew Alliance, which has as one of our brands, Widmer. And we're happy to be here to celebrate this very first gluten-free beer day. I wanted to thank Mayor Adams and the commissioners for their support of what we think is a very important day for craft brewing and the gluten-free community. As Mayor Adams stated, celiac disease is one of the most common chronic diseases in the Western countries, and I'm certain that most people in this room have either know somebody or personally been affected by this disease. 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with celiac, and at that time, there really weren't any very good, even gluten-free food options, and there were no beer options. So I'm very proud to be a part of an industry and a company that has delivered great gluten-free options. And what I'd like to do is introduce Joe Casey, who's responsible for our gluten-free beer and is my new favorite brewer. So,
thanks, Terry. My story is very similar to Terry's in that I have a personal connection with celiac disease. My wife was diagnosed a number of years ago. And finding a great beer that satisfies both professional interests as well as personal interests has been a challenge. We appreciate the fact that we're making this proclamation today for Craft Beer Week inside of Celiac Awareness Month. And we're really excited to have this product out there and to offer consumers more choice. Ryan might have something to say as well.
Yeah. I'm Ryan Schmigge, Assistant Brewmaster with Deschutes, and very proud to be here today. We've been brewing gluten-free beers for about 7 years now. We're on our 48th recipe, and these are difficult products to make. We've offered a variety of styles, and We're very proud to keep working on these products and be able to offer gluten-free alternatives for beer for celiacs.
And I'm John Dugan, and this is James Neumeister, and we're with Harvester Brewing. We're a new brewery in Southeast Portland. This is the whole company.
That's good.
We're a dedicated gluten-free brewery, so all we make are gluten-free beers. And one of the primary barley replacements we use are chestnuts from the Willamette Valley. And we think we have a great product, and we're happy to share it with the underserved people that have gluten issues within the craft beer community.
So. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what's that in your hand?
This is a gluten-free beer. This is Omission. This is a pale ale. There's a Omission lager as well. And these are the craft beers that Terry and I represent. And these recently came onto the market here in Oregon about a month ago.
Great. So. Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
City Council will now come to order. Good morning, Carla. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Beautiful morning out there, isn't it?
It is.
Can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We'll begin with communications. Can you please read the title of item number 501?
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding support the day after the primary.
Go ahead. You have all we need is your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Well, I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and my view of kind of like the election is that Oregon needs to move in a direction and be more like California, which is more sunny. It's a nice sunny day to say this. And in the last 50 years, I think Oregon and Portland have tried to be more like Washington State. And I see Washington's, I remember in 1966 when I was 10, they stopped the toll on the interstate bridge, and my father drove across the bridge and 60 miles an hour and stuff like that. But some of this, the use of energy like that, and Boeing makes planes that go 400 miles an hour, I think that era has kind of ended. And I see, when I was 10, I also went out to in Hillsborough, my uncle had a combine, a wheat combine, they went 10 miles an hour, and this is where your food comes from. So I'm just trying to say something that my view is maybe we should really sever our ties with Washington State. If Washington State keeps insisting on high-speed travel, and we need to look towards California and the fact that Oregon and California grow food and agriculture, and all farm equipment only needs to go 10 miles an hour. And I like these little trolleys. They go 10 miles an hour. And like I said, I think the era of high-speed travel is kind of coming to an end in this century. And that's just my take on the election. I don't know really if we need a new interstate bridge. Maybe we should spend the money on education.
Thank you. Okay. Can you please read the title for item number 502?
Request of Nicole Ruffin to address council regarding support of Buckman Sun.
Nicole, all right, can you please read the title for 503?
Request of Joe Walsh to address council regarding police horses.
Mr. Walsh.
Mayor, I should probably just observe that in your proposed budget, there is no anticipated cut to the Buckman Sun School program. So while the person's not here to testify, if they're watching, that is not currently proposed, slated for a reduction.
Mr. Walsh.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I am once again speaking for Individuals for Justice and the Oregon Progressive Party. I come today to suggest a simple thing, and that is the retirement of the police horses. It has come to our attention that you continue to support the police department's efforts to use these wonderful animals in a way that places our citizens and the horses in danger. from videos that are available on the internet, and I've also submitted in my written document, you can see that the horses were put in great danger. And also your citizens were put in great danger. These horses were pushed into the crowds during the occupation, pinning some people. And in one picture, one of the people that ran for mayor, Cameron, was pushed into a wall with the horse. I don't think that human beings should use horses as weapons. I think that is an outrage. Now, I don't expect any of you to agree with me. However, the cost to keep the horses, in my understanding, is $585,000 a year. That's a lot of money in a city that is going broke, that is cutting human beings' jobs, affecting families. What we're suggesting is that you take time and think about retiring these wonderful animals to green pastures. Maybe working with children. They're very effective working with autistic children. They're very effective working with veterans coming back from killing human beings in faraway lands. They do have a soothing effect if you give them the chance. But what we are doing, and many cities have now found it is wrong, we are using them as weapons to control crowds. We're saying to you a very simple statement: free the horses. You will hear that a lot in the coming elections and afterwards. We will see these horses retired. We are dedicated to it, and it will happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Can you please read the title for item number 504?
Request of Melissa Adams to address council regarding domestic violence.
Melissa Adams? Hi, welcome.
Can I make a request that the participant of my program that I'm coming here also representing be able to come up at the same time for her comfort level?
Is she Heather?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for letting us come. So my name is Melissa Adams, and I'm a domestic violence advocate. I work for Raphael House, and I'm outstationed at the Family Services Division. And I am here today because I want to thank you for protecting the funding for the Family Services Division, and specifically for the Domestic Violence Reduction Unit. So I'm going to speak to what many of you probably already recognize. I know a few of you in particular I've worked with recognize the benefits of domestic violence survivors and police officers working together. The first benefit is more obvious, I think, on a day-to-day basis, and that is the benefit of having officer and advocate teams going out together, because the role of officers is to investigate possible crimes and to establish immediate safety for the survivor. And advocates, on the other hand, work a little differently. We work simultaneously assessing the needs of the survivor, providing immediate resources, and helping with long-term planning for the survivors. We can establish longer-term relationships with those survivors so that we can assure that people are having greater potential for safety over time, or connect them with people who can provide them with that opportunity. just as important is the relationship building that continues between officers and advocates by having us work together on a day-to-day basis. We're getting to know each other, and we're being able to understand what each other are doing We're building trust with each other, and that impact, the impact of that isn't just directly impacting our survivors as we're going out there into the community together, but it's also having a ripple impact throughout our respective communities, because when I go and tell the story of Officer McCulley and the impact that he had on a domestic violence survivor that said that she was not planning on doing anything, reaching out for any services to support her in what she had been through because she didn't think anybody took her seriously, and that had been her prior experience. She didn't think that there were going to be any options for her. But Officer McCulley was there, and he talked to her. He took her seriously. He indicated that he understood the patterns that she experienced on an ongoing relationship in her relationship. And this had a lot of bearing on her decision then to come in and meet with us so that we could get her connected with things that could provide her with greater safety over time. So when I'm telling these stories to my coworkers in the domestic violence community of advocates, then we're feeling greater trust for those officers, and that is having a greater impact on our survivors throughout our community. So I want to thank you, and the important work that we do is I'm speaking on behalf of other advocates, and we're really grateful. Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of the Raphael House of Portland. My life has greatly been impacted by the Family Services Division of the Portland Police Bureau, their advocates and resources. I made special arrangements to be here today so I could thank you in person for protecting the funding for this office, in particular the Domestic Violence Reduction Unit. Being in an escalating abusive relationship for over 5 years myself, I know at the end of the day the services that they are providing are nothing short of life-saving. Without these services and my advocate, Melissa, I simply wouldn't be here. Since coming in contact with her, I've utilized all the resources she has connected me with, from becoming a participant at the Raphael House and entering their transitional housing program to doing yoga, art therapy, and counseling as well. I'm proud to say I'm not only alive, I'm free of my abuser, and once again working and preparing to start paying back the kindness shown to me throughout my experience. I look forward to a future with positivity, success, and value. And without the DVRU, it wouldn't even be me here today. It would be somebody here on my behalf because I wouldn't have survived. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the funding that will allow other people to be here in the future. I just really feel really grateful for you protecting this. It's very important.
Thank you both very much. Really appreciate you coming here to share with us.
Thank you for taking the time.
Can you please read the title? Oh, that gets us to the consent agenda. Is there any item anyone wants to discuss or pull from the consent agenda?
I do. Carla, do you have the item number?
Yes, yours is item 532.
532. Sent back to my office.
Can you please read the title for 532, and unless there are objections, to send it back to Commissioner Leonard's office?
Authorize the Water Bureau to acquire a conservation easement and an access easement on property owned by Catholic Youth Organization Camp Howard.
Unless objections, send back to Commissioner Leonard's office. So done. Any other items on the consent agenda?
Yes, we have 512 and 515.
Can you please read the titles for 512 and 515?
512, accept a grant in the amount of $100,000 from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management Military Department Fiscal Year 2011 State Homeland Security Grant Program for the implementation of state and local homeland security strategies. And 515. Amend contract with Tri-State Construction, Inc. for landslide mitigation on Southwest Sam Jackson Park Road to include additional emergency landslide mitigation work on nearby Southwest Broadway Drive.
The hills that just keep moving. Do those go under the regular agenda?
512 is being pulled for discussion, and 515 is being referred back to your office.
Unless there are objections, 515 is referred back to Mayor Sam Adams' office. So done. Anything else on the consent agenda? Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have two time certains. Can you please read the title for item number 506?
Mayor's message to Budget Committee.
All right, I'm convening the Budget Committee for the purpose of receiving the budget message. Committee members received copies of the budget documents this morning. The announcement made, was it last week, is the initial preview of the mayor's proposed budget. It now comes to us in more detail. These details available online as well for download. I'm going to read every single page in it. So just relax.
Okay, we got a while.
This and sitting down at our council table is Bureau of Financial Planning Director Andrew Scott. Welcome.
Thank you.
His team is available as well. This budget is the product of months of work by the City Council, community advisors and residents, our bureau staffs, and the Office of Management and Finance. The mayor's proposed budget invests in programs to help businesses create jobs, to boost family income, keep people safer and healthy, maintain the momentum of local education reforms by preventing deeper school teacher layoffs, and lays the groundwork to provide action towards a more equal Portland as called for in the Portland Plan. My budget trims overhead administration to better focus, better preserve frontline services in all of our programs and our public safety bureaus, including our public safety bureaus, housing, and parks. The Office of Management and Finance sees the largest single city bureau program reductions of 8%. We worked hard to save Portlanders money on utilities. The Water Bureau requested a higher rate, as did BS, and we brought them in at lower amounts. To protect the city's most vulnerable citizens and keep our safety net, I'm proposing $4.1 million of one-time funding for shelter services, rent assistance, and housing access services. The proposed budget provides $2.3 million in new one-time economic development dollars to bring jobs to the city, invest in workforce readiness, and support neighborhood businesses. Approximately $7.5 million will go to help Portland schools, with $5 million going to help Portland Public Schools, and the rest, all of it being divided up proportionately to all the school districts based on ADMW. And finally, the Office of Equity Budget was spared reductions, which reflects the city's commitment to moving a meaningful equity agenda forward and supports the Portland Plan's equity framework and the action items related to closing gaps, engagement, partnering, racial issues, disparity issues, and city accountability. Again, I want to thank my city colleagues for getting us thus far to this point. And to the community, we have a budget hearing Thursday, which is tomorrow, May 17th, 6:30 p.m. at David Douglas High School, where we will take public testimony. David Douglas High School is located at 1001 Southeast 135th Avenue, and look forward to seeing you there. So, now this is just the formal presentation.
Formal presentation.
Okay. Formal presentation.
And you just need to continue the meeting until tomorrow's public hearing, unless there are other questions or comments.
I have a question, if I could. Yeah. Andrew, are there any substantive changes in the printed volume which we have that are different than what the mayor announced in his proposed, I would say, substantive or other changes? And if there are, will we get a separate document that just highlights those?
There are just a very small number of relatively minor changes, and we can provide those to you.
I will be going through this line by line,
right,
comparing it to the mayor's proposed. But,
right. Just to give you an example, I mean, I think there are about three changes. You know, one of which is the city attorney and BTS, just to give you a flavor of what we're talking about. You know, they had agreed on a certain level of interagency transaction. BTS, city attorney wanted to pay for a position in BTS, and the position hadn't been added earlier, and so, you know, and what we released on that Friday. So we added that in. We can provide you a list of those changes. Again, there are only about three of them.
If you could just give us a cheat sheet, yep, at your convenience, that'd
absolutely
be great.
All right, we'll now reconvene as the city council. Can you please read the title for item number 507?
That's the PDC Budget Committee. We'll have to change out clerks here.
All right. We'll take a 3-minute break so we can change
I guess I give these to you.